Number 17, John chapter number 17, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word, we find the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is praying for others. He's praying for believers. And I want to begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible says, I pray for them. The Lord Jesus is praying, and in the midst of the prayer, we're breaking in the middle of his prayer, and he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 11. If you're habit of marking things, I want you maybe to underline or to circle where it says, these are in the world. And then I want you to go down to verse number 14, towards the end of that verse, and it says, they are not of the world. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. These are in the world, but they are not of the world. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege to come to thee. Thank you for your precious word. In these next few moments that we have together, I pray that you'd be lifted up and exalted. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand great things through this prayer that you prayed for us who have believed on thee. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for this chapter that you've given to us, where we see this intercession made on the behalf of those of us that are in the world but not of the world. Lord, tonight may we gain knowledge, but Lord, more than that, Lord, may we be courageous enough to do something with these things that you show us. We'll thank you and praise you for what's accomplished, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We have here, as I've already said, the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus, not the model prayer that we talk about so many times. When I mention the Lord's Prayer so many times, I'm talking about this particular chapter. And we see that the Lord Jesus is before his Father and praying. And as he prays, he prays about certain things. And then in verse number 9, specifically, he begins to say, I pray for them. Not for the world, but for them. Now, it doesn't mean that there was not times that he was praying for those that were in the world. This was a prayer he was praying, interceding for us, for those of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We know that the Lord has prayed for the world, and we know that the Lord Jesus is concerned for the world. He died for the world. He died for all. But here we find that as he prays, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I'm no more in the world. Jesus said, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. We could go on and talk about this prayer, but I want you to look at some things about those that he's praying for. And I want you to see three things tonight, very quickly, very briefly. I want to give us time at the end. This night we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. But I want you to see some things that ought to be a part of our lives. And that ought to help us to live the Christian life, to realize The Lord Jesus prays for me. And he cares for me. And he loves me so much. And he says these things about us and these things that ought to be a part of our lives. First of all, we see the attributes of these that are in the world, but are not of the world. The attributes, and we understand that, of course, the attribute means to think of as belonging to a person. And these are things that belong to a person that characterize us tonight. First of all, I want you to see one of the attributes of these that are in the world but not of the world is that we are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. Notice what the Bible says in the Scripture when he says in verse number 11, "And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be as one as we are. While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled." The Lord knew before Judas was ever brought in to that band of people that he was going to be the son of perdition. We have to remember that God is God, and God can do whatever he wills when it comes to things like this and allowing Judas to be a part of it. But here we find that everybody else that have come to the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus said, "I have kept them in thy name. Now, Father, I'm asking you to keep them. I'm asking you to take care of them." And tonight, we need to be assured that we are saved. We need to be able to rest in the fact that we are kept by God. The Bible says, Peter was writing, and the Bible says that we are kept by the power of God. We're not kept by the power of our own selves. So one of the attributes, when somebody talks about us, we know that we are being kept by the Lord. We're safe tonight. We're on our way to heaven. And dear friends, one of our attributes, one of the things that characterizes us, those of us that are in the world but not of the world, is that we are kept. Now, that may not mean a lot to you, but that makes me want to run around the church and shout. I just wouldn't be able to finish my message if I did. Right? Y'all are here, aren't you? I'm going to preach to the choir. Kept. What's that mean? God's going to keep us. He's not going to throw you back. How many of y'all have ever been fishing? How many of y'all have ever caught anything? Big difference there. Everybody said, "I've been fishing," but not many of you have ever caught anything. How many ever reeled something in and said, "This isn't a keeper," and you threw it back? Anybody ever done that? How about on this side? There we go. We're going to do, all right, let's do our exercises. Let's stand and straighten. No, I'm just kidding. Think we're dead tonight. We might be kept, but we're dead, right? And we'll say, "That's not a keeper." But everybody that comes to God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a keeper. Amen. He'll never throw you back. Amen. You're kept tonight. You remember that. When you're going a long life's way and Satan tries to tell you that God doesn't love you, you remember this, that God said he's keeping you. There's victory in it. Kept. Another attribute of these that are in the world but are not of the world is that we're to be joyous. I preached on this a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 13. "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world that they," talking about those that are kept, "they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So not only is the Lord keeping us, he's giving us his joy. Now see, this is a great thing. The Lord Jesus is revealing some things to us and some promises here in this prayer. First of all, we are kept by God. Secondly, we have his joy. These things, he said in John chapter 15, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Christian people ought to be the most joyous people in all the world. And there ought to be something that when people's around us, there ought to be a contagiousness about us. You know, this swine flu is going, H1N1. I don't want to make people scared and call it swine flu, because y'all might not eat bacon anymore. And Lord knows we need bacon, right? And pork roast and ham. Need ham. I had ham today. Well, I hope I don't get sick. And swine flu. If I get that swine flu from that ham, just kidding. Can't get it. If you don't know this already, I'm going to quit preaching here for just a second, and I'm going to be a newscaster. You can't get swine flu from eating pig. All right, now back into the message here. All right, I had to break off there. But, they're talking about that 70 to 80,000 Americans could end up with this swine flu. 70 to 80,000. Fear again. It's a real, they call it a, what is it? It's not an epidemic, it's a pandemic. I've never heard of that word until just a few years ago when the bird flu came out. But apparently it's been a word that's been used for years. I'm just real dumb about things, and I heard it then, and I thought, pandemic. They've created a new word, pandemic, And I come to find out it's been a word for years. But they're saying that this is something that people can get. But different ways that you get it. I mean, there's been places closed down. Schools closed down. You remember at the end of the school year this past year? Schools closed down. There's been office buildings closed down. At the beginning of this school year, there were some schools that didn't start because of this fear of it being contagious. Well, just imagine having something that's contagious that's good. Right? Well, guess what? You got it. If you got Jesus, you got joy. And people ought to want to be around us. Do you know that people that's outside the Lord are looking for something that'll bring joy to their lives? And we've got it. And I want to share it with everybody. I want to give it to everybody. Whether they want it or not. I want them to have it. But see, there's something that ought to be in our lives. There ought to be contagiousness. And people ought to be around us. And they ought to say, well, I want what they've got. What is it that we've got? We've got His joy. Now think about that. His joy. He's given us His joy so that our joy can be full. Who? Me. That's who He's praying for. Because I'm in the world, but I'm no longer of the world. So what are the attributes? The attributes are we're kept. It's one of our characteristics. Another characteristic ought to be that we have His joy. And then another characteristic ought to be that we love God's Word. That ought to be a part of our lives. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. I have given them Thy Word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. But I want you to take note of that where He says, I have given them Thy Word. We ought to have a love for what God has to say to us. Psalm 119, verse 42, the Bible says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Verse 50, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. In the book of Acts, chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. We ought to have a love for God's word, not only a love to read it, but a love to give it. It ought to be one of the attributes. That's who the Lord's praying for. And He's saying, I've given them something precious. I've given them thy word. This is something that ought to be a part of our lives. These are things that are characteristic. These are things that ought to describe us. When people want to look at us, they ought to be able to say, man, they claim that they're kept by the power of God. We know we're kept by the power of God. They have such great joy, and they love the Bible. Don't you want that to be said about you? That's the attributes. What about the attitude of these that He's praying for? We're not going to look at a whole lot of Scripture here, but I want to use just the title. Our attitude is that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. That ought to be our attitude. That ought to be our attitude. I can live in this world, but not have to be like the world. We need to take hold of that attitude, and it ought to be a part of our lives. We do not have to involve ourselves in the activities of the world. There's great pressure from without, and even great pressure from within. But the Lord Jesus says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And that should be the attitude of our lives. Is I know I have to live in it, but I don't have to be like it. God left us here for a purpose. What if the Lord would have raptured everybody out when they got saved? Well, it'd be a sad world, wouldn't it? Would you want to live in a world with no Christians? Well, just don't trust the Lord, and one day you will. The Lord raptures the church out of here, you know, it's going to be tough, isn't it? He's going to have a remnant of people here. We understand that. Then you're going to go to a world where there'll be no believers, a place called hell. But our attitude ought to be this. Yes, I do have to live in this world, but no, I don't have to be like the world. Does that not make sense? That'll be our attitude. And then finally, our assignment. We've seen the attributes of the people that are in the world, not of the world. We've seen the attitude, the people that are in the world, not of the world. Now I want you to see the assignment, verse number 18. Would you look with me? The Lord Jesus, praying to God the Father, says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. God has given us assignment. It's something that He's told us to do. That we could go and we could read from every gospel. The gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Luke, the gospel of John, and the first book, the book of Acts. And we could read five times that the Great Commission is given to us. And the commission is to go. Go ye to all nations, teaching them the name of the Father, teaching them all things, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Go ye in the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the Bible says. As thou sent me, even so send I you. The Bible says that we're to go to Judea, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the othermost parts of the earth. God has assigned us something. Now, God may not never call you to Africa, but God has assigned us to go wherever it is we are and to give the gospel. It is my responsibility to reach people that are around me. And it's your responsibility to reach people that are around you. It's going to be a sad day at the judgment if there are people that live near us that do not know the Lord Jesus, and we've lived around them long enough where we should have spoken to them. And they have to stand at the great white throne judgment. I don't know if it's going to be true, or if we're going to be there, if we're going to be a part of it, but I can only imagine if they're at the great white throne judgment and we're there viewing that judgment and they point a finger at us and say, you live by me, why didn't you ever tell me? Because God assigned us. It's an assignment. This is what Jesus said. Who did He say it about? Those that are in the world but not of the world. Who's that? That's the believers, right? We're in the world, not of the world. But He said, Father, as You've sent me, I've sent them. And He's given us that assignment. Now, people, we have to understand this. This isn't some preacher up here telling you all to do these things. This is what the Lord Jesus said. It's not my opinion. Because I'm really going to be quite honest with you. My opinion does not count unless it's backed up by the Word of God. I have a whole slew of opinions, but sometimes I just can't back them up. It's just what I want to believe, you know? But I do have some convictions. And convictions are from the Bible. And we have great conviction. We are responsible. If we would take, if everybody that's truly saved would take this responsibility seriously, there'd be a revival. There would be a revival. You want to know the problem? Is most believers are so far away from the Lord, they don't feel this sense of urgency. They don't understand the real need to do this. Even us, don't we kind of get cold about it? And sometimes we feel like, boy, a door just opened up right in front of us, but we're just a little bit too busy, or we've got to hurry up and get somewhere. We've got an agenda. We have a plan. We're going to be late. If somebody would be upset for you, now if it's a business appointment, that's one thing, but if it's just going out to dinner with somebody and they'd be upset with you because you took time to tell somebody about Jesus, you probably ought to find you a new friend if they say they're saved, right? But we have an assignment. And we're living in a busy world, but we cannot be too busy to stop and tell people about Jesus. We have to do that. But we will never make that difference if we don't have these attributes. That we know we're saved, we're kept, that we're joyous, and that we love God's Word. You won't be able to witness to people. You won't be able to fulfill that assignment. How many of you remember going through school? Some of you don't remember it, do you, Miss Marie? Too old, that's what I thought. Teachers would give you an assignment. You remember that, homework? I remember getting the assignments. I don't ever remember doing it, but I remember getting it, you know? Second grade, I didn't do my assignments for a whole semester. That is terrible. You know what? Back then, see, and I don't know if they still do it. They gave different kinds of grades. It wasn't A, B, C, D, and F. It was E for excellent, S for satisfactory, U for unsatisfactory. Now, I can't remember. There was one other one that was down there. Anyway. And I remember trying to change the U's to E's. It didn't work. I got caught. I got a paddle. The only paddle I ever got in my life was second grade. It's because I'd gone weeks without doing my homework. Weeks! You know? And you know what happens when you get a paddling at school if you have good parents? You get a spanking at home, right? Well, as soon as I walk through the door, and look, I'll go to my grave telling my mom and dad, I was going to tell you! The phone was ringing, another boy that got paddled the same day. He was bruised. He's a little scrawny fella. I didn't have that problem. He was bruised. He was knotted up. I mean, I'm telling you, honestly, he wasn't any bigger than a pencil. And it really did some stuff, you know. And so his aunt just happened to see him get that paddling. She was in the hallway visiting another class because she had a kid in another class. And so she took him to the bathroom after that, and she saw the results of that paddling. And she found out my name, and she called my house to see if that had happened. And my mom was walking through the door when the phone rang, and that's how she found out. And I told her, I was going to tell you. I told her that. I don't know if I would have, but I told her that. But my teacher knew that if I didn't fulfill those smaller assignments, that I wouldn't be able to accomplish what I needed to accomplish in the test. Here's the assignment. God wants us to be faithful every day. And when we are, He will give us the opportunities. But if you're faithful in the small assignments, you know what's going to happen? You're going to pass the test when the time comes. When you're faithfully giving out the gospel tracts and you're talking to people about the Lord, and the Lord is a topic of conversation in your life all the time. I know some Christians that say they never talk about the Lord in the workplace. Well, I'm going to tell you, that can't happen with me. He's done too much for me that I cannot help but speak about Him. And I told everybody I ever worked with that I was a Christian. Everybody. And I let them know. But I never shoved it down their throat. But there were many times I was able to pray with somebody. And several times I was able to lead somebody to the Lord that I worked with at the workplace. And I'm not lifting myself up because, believe me, I failed so many times. But that would have never happened those times if I had not been faithfully fulfilling that assignment. And then God gave me the test. Here it is. Are you going to go to the next step? And I was able to take a Bible and show somebody how to be saved. We have to be faithful in this. This is the assignment that God's given to us, and we must be faithful in it. The attributes, the attitude, the assignment. The Lord Jesus is praying. He's praying for those that are in the world, but that are not of the world. And He knows that it's not easy. If you read that prayer, you're going to find out that He realizes it's not going to be easy because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And that's why He's praying for us. And I want you to understand this. He still prays for us. Because the Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's praying these same things for us. Lord, Father, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. I know You're going to keep them. Lord, may they have that joy. May they understand that they're kept. May they love the Word of God. And may they fulfill the assignment. Help them to have the right attitude. That yes, they're in the world, but they're not of it. But they can make a difference while they're in it. May the Lord help us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this time that You've given to us to study Your Word together. And I pray that it's made a difference in our lives tonight and it's helped us. Lord, I don't know anybody's specific need in this place tonight in a greater way than You already know it. But Lord, I know each of us need to understand this assignment, that these attributes and this attitude ought to be a part of life. And I pray that we would work to that end. Lord, that we would make a difference in the world that we live in. We don't have to be like it, but Lord, we are in it. And while we're in it, help us, Lord, to make a difference. We give this time to Thee, this time of response. Lord, may we be faithful in responding to Your Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet. What hymn number?
534.